Have you ever collected toad eggs and hatched tadpoles? Or watched baby ladybugs hatching from eggs? That's what my family has been doing this week. It's the perfect season for nature study, and we invite you to join us for Magnify, a wild and wonderful summer adventure by Nat Theo. Discover God's creation right where you live as you find frogs, butterflies, animal tracks, birds, and so much more. Become a junior naturalist for God's kingdom. Join today at nattheo.com/magnify to access the full summer guide and tune in for live video classes where you will learn from me and share your discoveries with other students. Don't wait. Join today, start exploring, and get ready for our live video classes in Magnify at nattheo.com/magnify or the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. What is the largest animal that you have ever seen in the wild? I once saw gray whales in the Pacific Ocean, and they were massive. Of course, part of their bodies were underwater, so it was hard to tell exactly how large these animals were. But what about up on land? One of the largest land animals I have ever seen in the wild are moose. Our family encounters moose quite often here in Colorado. And one day while exploring the mountains, we saw 5 humongous bull or male moose. And one year, we saw 17 moose throughout the year. Moose are amazing animals. And today, we are discovering some of the incredible ways that God designed them. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn, is a moose a big deer? Can moose swim? Why do moose have massive antlers? And how can we listen well for God's voice? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsors who help make this lesson possible, including CTC Math. Math can help us see just how amazing God's designs are. Like that a male moose can be nearly 7 feet or over 2 meters tall from the ground to its shoulders, and that its antlers can spread over 6 feet or 2 meters wide. Math is a language, and just like any language, we have to work hard to understand and use it. But as we do, we can unlock the mysteries of God's marvelous creation. CTC Math takes the frustration out of math and has helped my kids learn math effectively and quickly. Try CTC Math's effective math program for kindergarten through 12th grade for free at ctcmath.com or at the link in our show notes. 1 Peter 3:15 says we should always be ready to answer everyone who asks you to explain about the hope you have. Books by Master Books helps us understand and explain the hope we have in Christ. They are fun to read and full of evidence so kids can confidently and boldly live out their faith. Master Books books have helped my family better understand and communicate all the evidence we have for what we believe about our Creator God. From Dinosaurs by Design, to the Wonders of Creation, to the Marvels of Creation book set, Master Books has books and resources for every age and helps families grow in faith, wonder, and wisdom together. Explore their awe-inspiring books at masterbooks.com or at the link in our show notes. It's time for our trivia question. What is a baby moose called? A. Foal, B. Calf, C. Kit, or D. Cub? Again, what is a baby moose called? A. Foal, B, calf, C, kit, or D, cub? Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. And Nat Theo Club members, after this lesson, click over to the bonus video where I will share with you videos I've taken of real moose my family has encountered in the wild, including a massive bull moose and a mama moose with her baby. Find that bonus video in your Nat Theo Club dashboard. Listeners, you can learn more about the Nat Theo Club and all of our extra Bible and nature resources at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes. All right, let's hit the trail. I remember the first time I saw a moose in the wild. Our family was visiting Colorado before we moved here, and we were driving through Rocky Mountain National Park when we saw a massive bull or male moose standing in a pond. My husband pulled the car over so we could get a better look. The pond was a safe distance away from the road, so we were able to stand outside by the car and watch this huge animal. I remember being amazed by how large it was. Moose are massive, that's for sure. They are the second largest land mammal in North America. Do you know what the largest land mammal in North America is? The American bison, which we learned all about on Lesson 65. So the moose takes second place for North America's largest land mammal. But is a moose simply a big deer? Moose are not the same animal as a deer, like a whitetail or mule deer that you might see while out hiking. Moose are different animals, but they are in the deer family. The deer family is called Cervidae. Along with moose, can you think of any other animals that might be in the Cervidae or deer family? I'm going to play music for a few moments, and I want you to see if you can think of any other animals that might be in the Cervidae or deer family. Are you ready? Were you able to think of any other animals in the Cervidae or deer family? Other animals in this family include white-tailed deer, mule deer, Sitka or black-tailed deer, elk, and caribou. You might have also said reindeer, and if you did, you are correct. Reindeer is another name for caribou. In North America, caribou refers to the animal in the wild, and reindeer refer to caribou that are in captivity. So Cervidae are a unique family of mammals, including moose, elk, caribou or reindeer, and different species of deer. In most species, males grow and shed antlers each year. They have split hooves, and they are ruminants, meaning they have four stomach compartments and chew cud. Moose are the largest animal in the Cervidae or deer family. You might think that such a large animal that can weigh up to 1,500 pounds or 680 kilograms with long legs that have hooves at the end instead of flippers would not be able to swim. But moose are good swimmers. Earlier, I shared with you about the first moose I ever saw in the wild and that it was standing in a pond. The water in that pond was shallow and the moose could stand up. But I have also seen moose in water deeper than they are tall, including in the small lake that my family lives near. One summer day, our kids ran into the house shouting, "There are moose in the lake!" I thought for sure they meant elk, because we often have herds of elk come through our neighborhood and walk down to the lake to cool off. I walked down to the lake and I discovered that our kids were right. There were indeed two moose in the lake, an adult female called a cow and a young yearling male. I couldn't believe it. These moose were right where our kids swim almost every day. We kept a safe distance away while watching the moose. After a while, they moved deeper into the water until their hooves no longer touched the bottom of the lake, and they swam across the lake. One reason moose swim is to find food. Now, it might seem that such a large animal would need to eat meat, but moose, along with a lot of other large mammals, are herbivores. Do you know what a herbivore is? Herbivores are creatures that eat only plants, such as leaves, grass, fruits, or vegetables. Moose love aquatic plants, which are plants that grow near or in water. I once watched a moose standing up to its neck in the lake while munching on huge mouthfuls of aquatic plants. The huge moose would dunk its massive head beneath the water and come up with a mouthful of plants. Moose also spend time in the water to cool down. You see, moose do not do well when it's very hot outside. This is why often, in the middle part of the day when it's really hot out, moose are bedded down in a shady spot. It's also why they head to the water to cool off. Whether crossing a lake to get to the other side, or looking for aquatic plants for lunch, or cooling off in a chilly lake, God designed moose to get around well in the water. Their long legs with large hooves act kind of like big paddles, powerfully pushing water behind them so they can swim forward. God also designed moose with special noses for swimming. Just like the rest of its body, a moose's nose is very large, and so are the nostrils in that nose. Imagine dunking your head under the water again and again to get plants, and water rushing into your large nostrils. If you have ever had water rush into your nose, you know that it can sting and be very painful. It can also be dangerous as water could get into your lungs. Thankfully, God engineered a moose's nose just right for all of that bobbing for aquatic plants. When a moose puts its nose underwater, the water pressure causes its nostrils to close, which keeps water from getting inside. In each nostril is a little valve, kind of like a little door. This design also helps a moose dive. That's right, moose are divers. They don't only bob their heads beneath the surface to grab and reach plants. They can also dive to around 20 feet or 6 meters beneath the water's surface. If you have ever swam beneath the water, you might have felt your head hurt a little bit as you swam deeper. That's because of water pressure. The deeper a moose dives, the more water pressure there is. And that water pressure seals the valves in its nostrils even tighter. This smart design means that the moose can dive down to get all of the plants it needs. So moose have powerful legs, large hooves, and self-sealing nostrils to help them swim. But what about the massive antlers on their heads? Just like deer and elk, a male moose grows and sheds a set of antlers every year. But what exactly are antlers? Antlers are big, bony branches that grow on the heads of animals in the deer family. They grow fast each year and are covered in a soft skin called velvet that brings blood and nutrients. By late summer or fall, the velvet on those antlers dries and rubs off, and the hard antlers are used for showing strength, fighting, and communication. After the season, antlers fall off or shed and grow back the next year, often bigger. Males grow a set of antlers to attract females to mate and to show dominance, or that they are in charge during the breeding season, which is called the rut. After the breeding season, male moose don't need their antlers to attract females anymore, so they shed them and regrow a larger set of antlers the following year. Moose antlers look a little bit different than deer or elk antlers. Deer or elk antlers are long and narrow. They look kind of like branches on a tree, but of course without any leaves. But moose antlers have a wide, flat middle section that looks kind of like a shovel or paddle, with spikes poking off the edges of that flat paddle part. Moose antlers are helpful for another reason than only attracting a mate or looking big and strong. They can also help the moose hear things that are far away. You see, moose cannot see very well, but that's okay because God designed them with excellent hearing. Have you ever been in an amphitheater? An amphitheater is usually round or oval, with the stage or arena in the middle. This specific shape helps carry sound so that people far away can still hear. It is very likely that the special shape of a moose's antler acts like a mini amphitheater that funnels sound right into the moose's ear. When there is a sound from far away, that sound can hit the moose's curved antler and bounce right in to the moose's ear. Two scientists tested this idea. They used a real moose skull with big, flat, paddle-like antlers. They placed a fake ear with a microphone between the antlers. They played a speaker making sound from about 32 feet or around 10 meters away, and they measured how loud it seemed when the microphone pointed forward, backward, or sideways into the bowl of the antler. The ear microphone picked up sound around 19% louder when it faced the center of the antler, showing that the antler helps funnel sound into the moose's ear. That's why scientists think that moose antlers help amplify sounds, which helps a male moose hear better. And that can be very helpful during the mating season, as excellent hearing can help them find mates. Even moose without antlers, like a female moose or a male moose that has shed its antlers, can hear very well. God designed them with large ears that can point in different directions. A moose's excellent hearing helps them stay safe from predators and find mates. It's likely moose can hear sounds from around 2 miles away, sometimes even further. So a male moose's massive antlers are designed just right to help them hear and find a female and impress that female so that they can have a baby, or a couple babies, or a few. Adult female moose, called cows, can have one baby and commonly can have twins or two babies at the same time. Our family has come across a mama with twins several times. But one time, I had a very special and a little bit scary encounter with a mama moose. It was shortly after our family had moved to Colorado. We were taking a vacation up in the mountains, and I went for a short run right before sunset. I was running through the beautiful woods, but was still close to cabins and the road. As it got darker, I turned back toward the cabin that we were staying at. It was right at dusk, and the sunlight was fading. I was running on a road, and I was almost back to our cabin when I noticed a large moose in someone's front yard. At first, I thought that maybe my eyes were playing tricks on me and that the moose was a statue. But then it moved its head. It was definitely not a statue. It was a female moose and a mama. I could see a young baby behind it, and I didn't know what to do. I had to get back to our cabin, but I couldn't risk running past the moose. Moose can be very aggressive and dangerous, and especially a mama moose with a baby. After a few moments, a car approached from behind me. I waved at the car to stop, and I pointed to the moose. Now, listeners, I strongly, strongly advise you to never get in a vehicle with a stranger. Never get into a vehicle with someone you do not know. However, at this time, this woman gave me a short ride past the moose so that I could safely get back to my cabin. And as she pulled her car forward, we could see that the mama moose didn't only have one baby behind her, or two. It was a rare occurrence of a mother moose with 3 babies. In 10 years of living in Colorado, I have never since seen a mother moose with 3 babies. Although the situation was a little scary, I'm grateful to have seen a mama moose with triplets. Listener, this is one of the many moose that I and my family have encountered. We keep our safe distance, but we've also had times when moose came a little too close to us. Encounters like this always remind me that we cannot tell nature what to do. God placed instincts into these animals so that they can stay safe and keep their babies safe. Nature shows us that there are natural laws, which means that there is a lawmaker, and that lawmaker is our Creator God. We don't get to decide how animals will or will not act, but as we learn about them, we can understand how to live well with nature's laws and stay safe while also keeping God's creatures safe. Think about a moose's wide, flat, curved antlers, directing sounds into their ears so they can hear from far away. Just as God designed male moose with a special way to hear, God gives His followers special ways of hearing His voice. Have you ever heard God speaking to you? God communicates with us in many ways. In special occasions throughout the Bible, God spoke out loud to people. And although this is not His main way of communicating today, He definitely can still speak out loud. He can also communicate with people through dreams and visions, which we can also see in the Bible. But God's regular way of communicating with us every day is through His Word, the Bible, through prayer, and through His Holy Spirit. Do you remember how scientists tested if a male moose's antler can amplify sound to help them hear? They placed a fake ear with a microphone inside real antlers from a moose. But what direction did the fake ear have to be pointed? Sideways, toward the curved part of the antler. Just as a moose has to point its ear the right direction, we need to turn our ears toward God's voice. Can you think of ways to do that? We can turn our ears to God by reading the Bible every day and by memorizing Scripture, by spending time in prayer and talking with God, and by listening for His Holy Spirit. In John 10:27, Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." When Jesus said, "my sheep," He was talking about His followers, because Jesus is like a good shepherd guiding us, His sheep. And we can follow Him closer as we turn our ears toward His voice. Proverbs 2:1-2 says we should turn our ears toward wisdom. And listener, God is wisdom. Jesus said this in Matthew 7:24. "Anyone who listens to my teaching and follows it is wise, like a person who builds his house on a solid rock." Just as God designed moose to hear well, God has given us everything we need to hear His voice and to listen to what He says and to follow where He leads. Let's practice listening well, especially for the voice of God. Just as a moose's keen hearing helps it hear faraway sounds and get where it needs to go, God's voice will always lead us where we need to go. These words from Isaiah 30:21 were written to a specific group of people in a specific time, but they show us God's heart and how He can lead us as we turn our ear to His voice. Listen carefully. "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, 'This is the way, walk in it.'" It's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. But before we do, parents and caregivers, I have something to share with you. If you have ever wanted something meaningful to listen to with your teens, check out the Compelled podcast. Each episode shares one in-depth testimony of how God is at work in missionaries, former skeptics, parents, and people rescued out of really broken situations. The stories are raw and honest, but always full of God's grace and redemption. Many episodes are great for middle school and up, and parents can preview to decide what's right for younger kids. Glimpse how God is at work in the world and in the lives of his children. Listen and be encouraged at compelledpodcast.com. Here is today's listener question.
Hi, my name is Joella. I'm 8 years old and I live in Pennsylvania. My question is, how do giant squids tackle their prey?
Thanks for your great question, Joella. How do giant squid tackle their prey? Giant squid are fearsome hunters. They live very deep in the ocean, where special equipment is needed to see them. So scientists are still learning about them. They're still a bit of a mystery. But we do know that these large sea creatures have 8 arms. They also have 2 long tentacles with suction cup-like structures called suckers that are covered in sharp teeth. That's kind of crazy and wild. These sharp suckers help them grab their prey. A few years ago, for the first time, scientists caught on camera a giant squid hunting. In the video, the giant squid followed or kind of stalked its prey for a few minutes. Then, when it was ready to strike, it shot out its 2 long tentacles and wrapped them around its prey. God knew that giant squid would live in a world where some creatures eat other creatures, and he gave them just what they need to find and catch their next meal. Thanks for your great question, Joella. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And NatTheo Club members, remember after this lesson to click over to the bonus video to see videos I've taken while out hiking when my family encountered moose. Find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your NatTheo Club dashboard. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. What is a baby moose called? A, foal, B, calf, C, kit, or D, cub? The answer is B, calf. Now it's your turn to explore. Go on a nature walk and look for creatures that are listening. Can you see a rabbit turning its tall ear to hear from a certain direction? Or a bird turning its head toward a sound? Or maybe your own pet dog or a neighbor's dog tilting its head to hear better? It's fun to wonder what an animal is listening to or listening for, and appreciate how God designed them to hear well. Thank you so much for listening. If you enjoyed this lesson on moose, please take a moment to send it to a friend and subscribe, rate, and review NatTheo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world. We are all